Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
If you have to pause the season, how long can you pause this season?
I don't have a firm number of days in mind. I think the way that I think about it, Dan, is in the vein of competitive integrity, right? In a 60-game decimated for with the number of people who have the virus and can't play, for any significant period of time, it can have a real impact on the competition, and we have to think very, very hard about what we're doing.
All right, that's your commissioner, Rob Manfred of MLB with Dan Patrick, and he said that a while back, and everything he's saying right now is actually happening, okay? So you can't stop the season and put everybody on pause because you've already got numerous teams, six or seven of them, that have already given up some of their games. Some of these teams have only played three games. You can't do it. So on Friday, this is where the commissioner played tough guy. And he calls up the MLB Players Association and tells Tony Clark, hey, listen, if the players don't get their act together, we're going to pull the plug. Dunsky, we're out of here. So why are we not Dunsky today? Because everything that he threatened on Friday is all coming true. I'm not saying he should do it, but you can't be the tough guy on Friday and then on Monday say, well, upon reevaluation, maybe we can fight through it.
I think that was just a premature and weak threat. Premature, because I don't think he's shutting anything down. I think he will limp this baseball season to October. That's what I think it'll be. And it may be, you may have four teams that aren't even playing baseball.
I think he'll be winning percentage. They got the whole doubleheaders with two sevens. They'll try to make up as many as they can. They can't make them up. They can't make all of them up. Like the Cardinals, I don't think will be able to make up seven games. So they won't play 60. They're going to play 56, and it could be a winning percentage thing in the playoffs.
But they will have, have some teams that did the right thing, that didn't have any issues, that maybe didn't miss any games. And why would you penalize them for doing everything right? So you may even just randomly have a game that, of a team that really shouldn't even be there just because you need to fill the spot. And God forbid that team suddenly go on a streak, and they played 15 less games than you.
This is the thing, and if true, I'll go to this. Jared Diamond, right, who writes for, the Wall Street Journal?
Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, because he wrote some good articles. Remember, he wrote a bunch of stuff about the Astros and that and the whole thing. He tweeted out, Derek Jeter debunks the completely absurd idea that the Marlins themselves decided to play that July 26th game against the Phillies. You remember that?
Yeah.
I think it was Rojas. I think their veteran shortstop was like on a text thread was like, "Yeah, we're gonna play. We're not gonna quit." Like it was through a text thread. Everybody ripped Major League Baseball because they let the players decide. Well, he says all the relevant league officials, including the COVID-19 Joint Committee, knew about the Marlins' positives, and those in power decided to proceed. Two things. Number one, if this is true, it's awful. And if it's true, the fact that Major League Baseball let that story sit out there
and didn't do anything about it,
and just sort of sat back and said, "Whoa,
we're not talking about
it." They're ripping the Marlins for being irresponsible, deciding to play, but the COVID-19 Joint Committee knew about the positives, and they decided to proceed in games. So that's a bad look.
It's almost like the wave of negative attention was flowing their way, so they just let them own it. They just let him take it instead of putting, you know, putting a stop to it, saying, no, we're all in this together. It's really not their fault. We actually said this, and we decided to proceed accordingly. That is a bad move. You're just going to let him take the fall, let him take all the blame, and not say anything about it?
I just, listen, we and I know that E-Rod has got a heart condition that has taken him out for the entire season. So, obviously, there are some dire effects that happen with those that contract COVID-19, though I've also read that you could pick that same thing up with any other type of virus or influenza, you know, if your body is so accustomed to. But I understand that part of it, but we also know that no other player has really shown that he is very sick. Is that fair to say to this point? Nobody else is very sick.
And let's just say, but also E-Rod actually got COVID before the, you know, before the agreement between the players and everything else.
He did, but he's got effects of it now, which you got to be concerned about.
No, I know. I mean, Whitley, that's for everybody. I mean, but that's
correct.
There are some, you know, some lasting issues for certain people. I'm just saying, I feel like a lot of people like to point to E-Rod and say, look, see, and but he wasn't. He caught it beforehand.
But it really comes down to, when you talked about it earlier, Christian, it comes down to whether Manfred is going to be able to deal with all this stuff. And it's more than just optics. It's scientists who are basically sitting there going, you got to shut it down. You can't continue to do this. Because their concern is, these guys are ill. They're going to pass it along to other people. I'm not sure that Rob Manfred has the stamina to be able to fight through all of this stuff. You talked about limping to October. I don't see it. I don't see how it happens. And you're already seeing what he's doing. Lou brought this up. He already told us, if one or two players come down with it, we're going to fight through it. We're going to try to get through it. Well, now, when one or two players get it, he doesn't even wait for 12, 13, as we may now have, or 14 with the Cardinals. He doesn't wait for that.
So
one or two is enough for him to shut it down.
So the question is, what happens when, or what has to happen for you to shut the season down? Okay, well, I don't think it's, to me, it has to be a domino effect of teams that just, you know, mushroom clouds into this huge, you know, Major League Baseball pandemic, where travel people, media, trainers, equipment guys, bat boys, whatever.
But you're getting that with two teams.
I know, but I need six teams, two teams. We're paying attention. We're counting out how many guys get it, and we're tracking them to see where they went and what they did. Six teams? Now you really have an eyesore.
Well, because
that you can't do anything about.
If it's six, you're affecting 12,
yeah,
20 teams.
Because,
you know, it's like when the Cardinals, they're not playing a couple of series,
yeah,
right? So now it's not just them. It's the two teams that are supposed to play this week. So every time one team gets shut down, you're affecting two other schedules. So right now, two teams have been shut down, and it's basically affected six teams, just as far as games go.
But I will say this. You look at the difference of the NBA right now, and we know Lou Williams drifted off because the man's got to eat his wings. We know he drifted off. But other than that, it has been totally clean. Why? Because they are sustaining themselves within the bubble. The NHL is doing the same thing at two different sites. Baseball does not have that. There's travel involved. So many distractions. So many things can happen. And now football is going to try to do the exact same thing. Good luck.
Yeah. No, exactly. And good luck is right. Because, I don't know how you go about it. Because I do remember thinking four players on the Marlins, you know, one and then three, you probably shouldn't have played that game. You know, maybe you wake up and hopefully, and maybe you pause it for 3 days and see what the rest of the tests are like, and it went crazy. Same thing here with the Cardinals, right? You have the seven players. But again, the most positive news is that the Marlins played the Phillies all weekend. And people said, how dare you play that game? That's very irresponsible. Now you've infected another ball team. Well, you didn't. The Phillies have zero positive tests. You didn't infect the team at all. So, can you go back to saying, okay, well, we got seven players positive. Take them off the roster. That's why we got a 60-man player pool. That's why we got a 30-man roster.
So
go find six, seven players, and then, you know, when those guys come back after a couple of positives or 10 days, whatever it is, you put them right back on the roster, and you go play.
Yeah, but see, the problem
that was the idea to begin with, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the problem you have is that a guy could be around somebody and not show any of the symptoms or even test positive for 5, 6, or 7 days. So now you have, let's take the NFL. So you were talking about during the season what happens, Lou. This is before the season. You have two starting quarterbacks that tested positive for COVID-19. What happened if that would happen in game three on a Wednesday or a Thursday? Let's say Friday or Saturday. Do you play that game on Sunday? Do you sit there and say, we're not going to go out there in close contact and have the Detroit Lions play the Minnesota Vikings? If you're the Vikings, you're sitting there, don't come to Minnesota. We want nothing to do with you guys until we know what the tests are like, and that takes 5, 6, or 7 days.
No, see, the testing, first of all, the NFL has the ability to activate guys almost like a 24-hour notice. So as far as filling the voids.
So does the baseball.
So, well, yeah, he's talking about so fine. They fill the voids,
but it doesn't make a difference.
But they're only, not.
You're around Matthew Stafford all week,
only,
Christian.
Okay, so fine. Let me finish real quick. The only way they can do that is if you test Saturday night, you get the results Sunday morning. You can't wait 48 hours.
Yeah, but what we're seeing is if you do that and you find out one player has it Sunday morning, you could play that game, and the next result comes back Monday or Tuesday, and it could be 7 or 8.
This is what Cardinals tested negative originally.
Yeah, when you're doing it this way, in the way baseball is doing it, the NFL is screwed. Completely screwed. Because baseball, we say, we got 60 games. You're going to play 56. You know, you might play 54. Or we'll play a couple doubleheaders to try to get it back up to 54, 55, 56.
So you're...
The NFL, they're going to sit there and say, okay, well, we got one positive test on Sunday morning.
Okay.
We're not playing.
Okay, postpone it
because
to Monday.
On Monday we might find out they got 8 guys. And then on Tuesday we might find out we got 16.
We're going to games at 1 o'clock. Games at 1 o'clock, we're playing at 8. Games at 8 o'clock. Games at 8 o'clock.
Monday you might find out. Wednesday you might find out.
Christian, we're playing Monday night. The Cardinal players,
2 days later,
they originally tested negative. Okay? And they had to do numerous tests before they finally got a positive test.
Well, then I would say first step is make sure we get a testing system that is accurate.
You're not getting that between now and the start of the football season. 95%
accurate. 100% accuracy. I was hearing
then you can't get
that depending on, so there's the tests that are, some tests are bogus, or there's the actual tester that doesn't test you correctly. Like, so you stick the little thing up your nose, it's got to go all the way up to the back of your brain.
I'm sure that's possible. The technology is probably not where you want it to be, but the problem that you have is, I play with Matthew Stafford. I'm on the offensive line. Friday, we find out Matthew Stafford test positive because they're testing these guys on a regular basis. Everybody else tests negative. That doesn't mean by Sunday at 6 o'clock at night or Monday morning that the rest of the offensive line is not going to test positive.
Right.
We just found this out with the St. Louis Cardinals. So how do you play a football game if then that's what we're finding out? We all thought you could, if one or two guys go down, you just eliminate them and put somebody else in. What they're telling us is other guys could be infected with it, but we don't know for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
This is an adventure.
Adventure.
This is Mr. Toad's wild ride is what it is.
Talking about adventure, we got a wild ride. You guys missed it. Antonio Brown, we've been asking for it. Please, please do something. Give poor Antonio an opportunity. AP wants to play football. Give him an opportunity. The league actually is giving him an opportunity. I want to find out what you guys think about it. We'll do it coming up next. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, the escapades of AB took another turn while you guys were gone on Friday. So word came down from the commissioner, this long investigation that he had finally was complete.
About time.
Yeah, finally was complete. And so Antonio Brown has now been given an 8-game suspension by the league. Even if they don't play these games, every one of these weeks, starting with the schedule on September the 10th, all count towards games served in the suspension for Antonio Brown. So Lamar Jackson, your MVP in the National Football League, he came right out and said it. He wants the Ravens to go and sign Antonio Brown.
Around us, he was a great guy. You know, you don't really see anything going on at all. You know, he cooled down to earth guy, you know, and he's passionate about the sport of football. Like, when he was working, you can tell, like, this man is, he going to go, like, 24-7. And after the workout, he still went and lifted. Like, he already, prior to the workout, he lifted. We go out there and go to throwing routes. After that, them guys went and lifted some more. I'm like, dang, this guy, there's no quitting with him. So it's like, that's the type of guy we need in our locker room. And I feel like the locker room here is different from any other locker room. Like, it's a brotherhood going on. It's none of that outside noise. You know, it's strictly inside. Like, we worry about each other. We worry about what we have going on. We want to win. And I can tell in him, he want to win.
Perfect.
Play ball.
Perfect locker room guy and a guy that is concerned with the inside, not the outside noise.
He is so just brainwashed. I don't know. They were doing some throwing sessions, so obviously he sees them in a different light. First, the most important thing, yeah. Antonio, first of all, I do think Antonio Brown will play in the NFL.
Play or be signed?
I think he'll both. I mean, yeah, if he's playing,
he's going to be signed. He's going to be signed.
Yeah,
I think he'll be signed, and maybe it's this team. He will not play.
Oh, I think if he's signed, he's playing. And what's the big deal? So you don't play till week 10. So what? You still have 6 games and, you know, possibly 3 playoff games. The most important thing he needs is an advocate, and Lamar Jackson is his advocate.
And his cousin. His cousin on that team.
Yes, cousin
on
Lamar.
No, I think now that you know it's 8 games, if I'm a team, I absolutely add Antonio Brown to the team.
Yep.
And rather than having to say, oh, I don't know, give up a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, you know, I know I got this guy coming back in week 8. I mean, this is just like, you know, pup list, right? Guys come back week 9, whatever it is. So you sign this guy, especially if you're the Ravens, absolutely. You're going to be a good football team. And, you know, you hopefully week 9, you got this guy ready to go.
Yeah, okay, so
why wouldn't he, if he signs, why wouldn't he play?
Well, there are two reasons that I would fear if I were a team. And I agree with you. I think some team will sign him because you're looking at the 8 games. Because the commissioner also added an addendum to the 8-game suspension and talked about the possibility that there were other outstanding events or issues out there. And if that were the case, they would readdress it. So if you're one of those people right now that have been done wrong by Antonio Brown, and I'm going to guess there are a few more out there, this is where you're going to make some noise because you can now cause him pain. And so I think they come forward, and I think the commissioner has to readdress it. Here's the second part of it. If I'm a team and I'm going into a very challenging year where I'm going to have to keep all these players under wraps, in control, this COVID-19 could wipe us all out. He is the last guy you want to bring in that you can really depend on that he's going to stay in control.
I mean, it's funny because you sit there, and if you were to tell me, okay, list before the 2019 season, list 3 teams that you think would be a great setup, a great environment for Antonio Brown. First place I would say would be the Patriots.
Right.
Second place I would say.
How did that work out for you?
The second place I would say would be the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
A coach that has been there forever, a veteran team. Great management, great ownership, blah, blah, blah. That's the Seattle Seahawks, another team.
Yeah.
I would say San Francisco 49ers, okay. Teams like that. Yeah. But we've already learned that that doesn't mean squat. Doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Not one thing. I don't care. Give him the best environment, give him the best. Tom Brady, advocate. Hey, I'm going to like every one of his stupid Instagram. I'm going to say everything. Yeah. You let the man into your house. It didn't work. He worked out at TB12 after hours. It didn't work. So what makes this situation or this time different than the last? You guys tell me. What makes it different?
It doesn't. And again, I think it's a challenging season to begin with the coronavirus. And then on top of that, the commissioner throws that line out that if there are anything else outstanding, and guess what? We all know. They're outstanding.
Well, see, the only thing, I'll tell you what's different.
Go ahead.
What's different is that he was invincible back then. last year. He talked his, got exactly what he wanted, but talked his way out of Pittsburgh, said, you know, not only am I, you know, I want to be released, but whoever signs me want, give me a new deal. And he got that in Oakland. And he didn't like his situation, so he talked his way out of Oakland. And it landed him a job with the Patriots, and it was a perfect spot for him. And he felt like, you know, he was just going to be there all year long. He could do whatever the hell he wanted. And he ended up getting kicked off of that team. He's been out of football now for over a year. So, you know, the only thing that would difference is you don't know in his mind and all, but he's no longer invincible. He's missed an entire season and realizes that he really did screw up. And they can keep his ass out of the league, and no one's interested in him because they don't want to sign him.
Yeah, okay. But so I would say that's though, true. Why didn't he straighten out, though, when he went from Pittsburgh to Oakland, or he went from Oakland to New England?
I just told you why.
Yeah.
Because he got everything he wanted. He was proven correct. Mama, it worked. You know what I mean? I got out of Pittsburgh. I got a new deal in Oakland.
Yeah,
and then I showed up in Oakland, and you know what, Mama? It worked again because I wanted to get my ass out, and I landed on New England.
Okay, you're talking about a logical, rational, stable human being going through the thought process of saying, okay, it's a little bit different now. This is what I have to do. I don't think he's any of those things.
Well, I'm just saying, he got everything he wanted last year.
He retired 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, he retired.
I'm telling you, he got everything he wanted last year until he got released by the Patriots. And then it was like a little bit of a wake-up call. And we'll see. That's the only thing you can rely on. Am I confident that it happens? We'll find out soon enough.
What's the answer? Are you confident or not?
But I'm just saying, like, you know, he everything worked out perfectly for him last year until the Patriots got rid of him.
So if you're telling me
he was
that,
a winner.
That humility was the final, I guess, straw, right? So he finally got some humility, ate some humble pie. That's what's different this time.
Yeah.
Because I would say Beyer still needs to beware, but less about him, because I do believe that he's learned his lesson. But just the skeletons in his closet, I don't think they've all been removed.
Of course, there's going to be more people coming forward.
So I am signing you to a non-guaranteed contract, no risk whatsoever. I have a larger roster anyway, so I can afford to do this. It's only 8 games with the playoff. I'm the Baltimore Ravens.
It's a shorter roster, actually. It's 80 versus.
Well,
90.
Maybe in the end, you're going to have a bigger practice squad. I guess that doesn't matter. But my point is, you're going to play for the Baltimore Ravens. Lots of one-on-one situations because teams are forced to play more guys in the box. I don't have a really great passer. He's really good at throwing guys who are wide open.
Yep.
You're going to be wide open a lot.
Yep. No, he'll get separation.
This
he's perfect
is
for
a
them.
Perfect situation. Yeah. Short term, low risk. Hey, if something comes up, I spent $200,000.
So you're talking about a totally imperfect human being. He has displayed that going into a perfect situation. I don't think it works. I don't, if he were everything that Lou says he will be, that if he straightened his act out, if he's learned his lesson, all of that other stuff, then I would say it could work. It's not going
to
happen.
See, Lamar Jackson has got to continue. Well, he's still got all of August and then 8 weeks. They don't need to sign him right now. I mean, he's going to keep working out. We've already seen that over the last year.
It's 8 games no matter what.
Yeah, so it's no matter what. So he keeps his nose clean. He doesn't get any issues. All the other issues,
What do you think the chances of that happening?
I thought the pandemic would do it, but my point is he is in close contact with Lamar Jackson. Every day, did you talk to him? Hey, push it through. Lamar Jackson will be the reason Antonio Brown is playing on the Baltimore Ravens. Nobody else, not John Harbaugh, not nobody else. It's going to be Lamar Jackson. That's the only way he's got to keep pushing it. Well,
Good
I think
luck.
He, wait, has anyone else come out? Any other quarterback? Like Brady is like too hot for me. I don't want anything to do with it anymore.
Seahawks are rumored about it, weren't they?
They were, but I'm not sure.
He was right now with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I'm looking at this bet online, and they have the Packers as the favorites at 2-1.
I think the Packers have no receivers.
Looking
That's
at me
all they're looking
there.
At.
And then Seattle and Tampa's at 3-1, which I think that ship has sailed.
I do, too.
I don't think Arians wants any part of them.
Nope.
And I don't even know.
He's dealt with them before.
I mean, listen, anybody could use AB, but that team is probably the one team where you're like, they're good.
Yeah, but if you look at
and
that
And then
list,
the Ravens are at 4-1.
Isn't it teams that need receivers? That's what you're looking at, and New England would be in that list as well, except they've already had the AB treatment, so they're through it. Did you guys realize that we had the first sporting event in New England with fans in the stands this past weekend?
Revolution?
Really? You didn't know about it. Nobody's talking about it.
Huh.
Nobody. I think they had up to like 19,000 people.
It's a real sport, right?
Real sport.
A
real sport.
Promise?
Yes.
You
real
promise
sport.
Me it's a real sport.
I'll give you all the details. Okay. Not Fenway Park, not Gillette Stadium. All right, yes, someplace though in New England. We'll get to it coming up next right here on OMF.
A NASCAR driver considered an athlete? Explain that to me.
I would imagine. Weights?
I guess that's athletic.
What about the eye-hand coordination that one of these guys has? Tremendous.
My grandmother then can drive NASCAR because she drives a she can bank left. She's an athlete now.
Answer there, Christian. Brad Keselowski.
I know what this is doing. I know what
he
you're
doing.
He
was the NASCAR Cup Series driver who won the race yesterday at the New Hampshire Speedway.
Yeah, I saw this. This is funny because I didn't even realize this was even going on because I remember a couple years ago we actually I was just in New Hampshire.
We were up there.
We were
remember. So you were up in New Hampshire last week. Why didn't you journey over there?
I had no idea this was even going on. I saw this guy doing an interview, like a Zoom interview after the race, and as he was talking, he was doing the interview, he was typing. He was like typing a letter to somebody.
Really?
It's very disrespectful to the person who was doing the interview. But they had fans at this race yesterday.
They had between 12 and 15,000, wink, wink, because some people think there were actually more than that. But according to the Manchester Union leader, the socially distanced crowd was, again, wink, wink, between 12 and 15,000, making it the largest gathering for a sports event in New England since we've had the onset of this pandemic. So here's the question I would ask, because we talked a lot about doing this at Gillette Stadium or whatever. How do we know whether it worked out or not? Unless, like, 15,000 people test positive in the next week.
That's true.
Suppose one section, there are 5 or 6 or 8 people that actually contracted it. How the hell do we know whether it was successful or not?
You don't. You basically, if that should be, they should, all the fans that went there should have been considered guinea pigs, right? So here's an experiment. Come to the race.
11,000?
Well, yeah.
You know what it was? Okay.
No. Yeah. No,
so it was between 12 and 15.
So we're going to trace all of you, and then for the next 2 weeks, we're going to test you. Because I really think, and I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding.
Like a scientist lab.
Yes. I mean, yes. Because that would be the only way to really see, like, hey, I volunteer. I'm going to go watch the boringest event in the history of the world, cars going around in a circle, banking left constantly.
You try to do
it. Okay, it's basically, it's not even 4 left turns. It's really just one constant left turn.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that would be a way of tracking to see what actually happened. Because I saw the video from this event, and some people were wearing masks, and some people weren't, and some people were sitting 6 feet apart, and some people weren't. And when they went to the went to the bathroom, like, we thought that, you know, what are people going to do at Gillette Stadium when they have to go to the bathroom? Like, they all just went when they felt like it. There was no, like, protocol. I got to go. Okay, we got to wait. Okay, now go.
Yeah, but we don't know if it's working or not. How do you know if it's working?
Well, that's my point.
I doubt if 15,000 are going to come down with this thing, right? So, but some might come down with it. Some might have symptoms. Who knows? How do you know if we're journeying into this science
New Hampshire's
lab,
a different level. I mean, they'll end up, like, I don't know how many tests they're having right now, but if they have, you know, lately, if they're having, you know, 20 cases or they're low, right? If it goes to 30, is it a spike? You know, I mean, this is kind of where we're at right now. But you're right. Yeah. All these people get together. We'll find out in 2 or 3, 4 weeks. I don't know. Some people want to push it out. You don't really know until 2 or 3 months because they don't like what the numbers are saying in 2 or 3 weeks. So they'll keep pushing it out, but good for them. They're out there, and we'll see what happens in 2 or 3 weeks.
I did talk to I don't know if you guys even talked about this because I was gone Thursday and Friday, but I did talk to a season ticket holder who told me that each season ticket holder, so obviously they're getting rid of the first, whatever, 8 rows. He's like, I have the 6th row, and my seat's completely ruined. So, but they each get to go to 2 home games. They can go to 2 home games. So that's it.
As of right now.
As of right now, 2 home games. So every season ticket holders, I'm not sure how that's going to technically work because that's what he said. Well, what if I get a crappy game?
Right.
You know, and they also said that the parking lot was going to be open. It's going to be open to the public. It's going to be, so you could basically roll up.
Still tailgate, but not go in the game.
Which makes no sense either.
No.
So I don't think they'll end
up. You should
up
probably show a ticket to tailgate.
They again, should probably have proof that you're actually going to the game. But he said that, so each season ticket holder gets 2 games.
Yeah, I'm not buying any of this stuff.
Why aren't you buying that?
No, I'm buying the deal. You get two games. I know people.
You don't think it's going to happen.
Who are within the...
Don't you have season tickets, Glenn?
Yes. So people that are
in the... So why don't you tell us what the hell's going on?
So people that are in the early rows, which I don't have, I can tell you they're moving them. They're moving them. That's so you're right. They're moving them.
So what are they telling you?
Then they're telling me nothing.
Wait.
Zero.
You don't have season tickets, do you?
You're a liar. You don't have.
They're actually
fresh. You would know.
They're actually fresh.
Okay, yeah, somebody's giving you tickets. Right,
check it.
We share.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, I think that is.
Let
I think
that is 15,000.
That is a good compromise. Hey, it's better than nothing. You get two games. You get two games out of the eight, and there's no preseason. Now, how they do the playoffs, if they even make it, whatever. Who cares at that point in time? But you get to go to two. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have fans.
It's Massachusetts.
I think they better worry about what's going on. They better worry what's going on.
What do you think?
Baseball.
You're not that far away from it. It's about a month away.
It ain't happening.
I just don't buy it.
So wait, are you saying, is Glenn Ordway saying here and now, okay, we put this on the board, no fans at Gillette Stadium. Are you going to own that?
I will own it. I do not believe we're going to have fans.
Christian, there will be no chance that there will be fans in Gillette Stadium.
Right.
No chance.
See, this is
because if you have a cough, if you have a runny nose in December or November, if it gets cold, then you won't be allowed anywhere. Everything will shut back down again.
It's too much they have to do. They have to
over a runny nose and a cough.
This other what do you mean? Guys,
but I'm doing the wait a second. It's not. I've been doing it every weekend in New Hampshire. My favorite state. Okay, they give you the little test. You walk in. They have this whole setup. They take your temperature, and then you go in and you got. I had my mask down below my nose because I couldn't freaking breathe. I had a real high end mask on that gave me no ability to breathe any. So I pulled it down for a second.
That's New Hampshire.
There was no. But they jumped ugly on me. As soon as I pulled it down, pull it up. I was like,
well,
Jesus.
Lou and I called in advance, told them you're going to be a tough guy. So we tipped them off. I just don't see it happening in Massachusetts, Christian. You've watched how Massachusetts has dealt with this. People now are talking about how great Massachusetts has been. We forget about all the people that died early on in the process. Do you really believe that Charlie Baker, looking at the approval that he's getting right now, because most stuff is still kind of closed down or clamped down on?
No,
you
we
really
saw
think
a
he's
going
to open the flood doors?
We've gone from 1.9% to 2.2.
Yeah,
so that's a huge. Even though today was 1.3, but
it's not going to happen.
No. Okay, I guess.
All right, I heard you had a big Red Sox concern, and I know that you want to get your time talking about.
No. I mean, it's just this was this stood out to me. Because, based on the way some guys are playing, you know, we knew there was going to be some changes with the season. But this was interesting to me how certain guys who really relied on video replay, like certain guys, they don't have the ability to watch the video. J.D. Martinez, Bogarts, the pandemic has limited in-game video access.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, I would think that, wait. Shouldn't it be easier? Why can't they have a disinfected video access room for guys to go watch video? Or is it have something to do with the whole, banging on the can and all the issues that they have?
They put so much protocol on that, and they've changed it that, yeah, I'm with you. Because normally you say, okay, they've got these iPads, right? Like, why can't I just pull up my at-bat? And that's guys that want to do when the game, when the at bat is over, they come in the dugout between innings or whatever. They'll, especially a guy like JD who's a DH, they'll just want to watch their at bat. They'll want to see where the pitch was. They'll want to see what they're doing wrong at the plate. They want to fix some things mechanically and they make an adjustment and go to the next one. They can't do that this year.
Why?
That's a good question.
I feel like if you're telling me it's because of what happened with sign stealing and all that stuff.
That probably plays a role in it. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Optics plays a role in that as well. But isn't that an easy fix? Forget about the pandemic. You're telling me if there was no pandemic, they would not allow players to watch a video, an at-bat?
They got rid of all those feeds right next
to
the dugout.
But didn't they still have a designated room for guys to go look? It wasn't a live feed, or it was like a three-minute delay. So even if you had a plan, you couldn't do it because it would have been useless because the at-bat would have been over. Right? So I thought they were having a designated place for these guys to watch video of their at-bats, to break it down and to learn from their mistake. Not try to designate what they were throwing, but just look at their own mechanics. So now they've just completely removed that their ability to do that. So guys like JD can't do it.
Right.
And it's a problem.
And well, it's a problem for him because I almost feel like he's blaming his struggles on it.
Well, it was actually before that because Ron Renicky, the very first week we talked to him, we were talking about, you know, protocol and guys ruining their routines and how the player's been handling it. Out of nowhere, he mentioned JD Martinez.
I talked about JD a little bit. This guy prepares better than any player I have ever seen offensively. It's pretty incredible to watch what he does, the routines that he has. So it's going to be different for him this year. There's no video for him to watch. There's the preparation has to be up in his suite, you know, before the game. It's going to be totally different for him. So I don't know how that's going to affect his game. It could, but hopefully that they'll make some adjustments and they'll be able to get by without it.
And he's struggling. You can see it. Matter of fact, Renicky had an opportunity to pinch hit JD for Benintendi and didn't do it the other night.
Yeah. I mean, he's hitting .222. He doesn't have a home run right now.
That's what I mean. He didn't trust him.
He doesn't look right. This is a guy that's like, I mean, when it comes to like just studying hitting, it's almost overboard. It's amazing how he doesn't just overanalyze everything. But he brought like iPads into the batting cage every day during BP. He videotapes his batting practice. And then when batting practice is over, he goes and watches his videotape to make sure he's doing the things he needs to do mechanically. And then every at-bat, he's doing the exact same thing, and he's studying his swing. And if this is off, or his hands are off, or his path to the ball is off, or whatever, he can kind of make adjustments right then and there and go out and have a better at-bat. He's not able to do all those things, or it's completely different than maybe what he's accustomed to.
But here's the other thing, just when you mentioned that, if a guy needs that much information, is he really a great hitter in the first place? Like, if he needs so much information.
But his own swing, though.
But can't you?
He's dependent on it just, now.
I feel like it's such a, yeah, it's a crutch. It's like a drug. It's a crutch. And if out, it's like he's so outside of just being a natural hitter because he's, you know, merged into this guy that's relying on technology that he can't just sit up there and grip it and rip it. Like, can't you just do that? Just go out and hit the ball? I don't know. I guess it's another discussion for another time. I guess it's just a sign of the times. But I don't see everybody else like that. I feel like, does Mike Trout do that? Does Mookie Betts do that?
No, I think JD
does Aaron Judge do that?
JD's different than anyone I've ever seen in my life. Any hitter I've ever seen. Most guys don't want to look as much as he does. So it's about comfort. It's about routine. And whether you're dependent on it, I don't know. But that's pretty much where he's at right now. He's struggling. I don't know if that's the reason or if he's just in a funk. Well, maybe he's such a great hitter that, you know, when he has a bad game or two, he's and watches enough of himself to get out of it quicker than most. That's what great hitters are. And it doesn't seem like he's able to get out of it as quick as he has in the past.
I think you're right, though. I think he relies far too much on this stuff, and he's lost without it. Do you guys remember we talked to him in spring training? And we were talking about the sign-stealing stuff and taking the video away. And at that time, he was concerned.
Taking away the video, for me, I think just for everyone, too. I think the younger guys are kind of scared to say anything because they're not really, you know, a voice or whatever. For me, I'll speak up for them because they all come to me and they go, hey, what's going on with this? The game has evolved. You know, it's no longer that, oh, he's a natural-born hitter type deal anymore. It's not because you have so many weaknesses. Now they have computers that's combating hitters. When I was in the minors, I had video in the minor leagues. You know, that was 2009, that was 2010. This piece of technology, this thing that's comfort that players have grown up with, and you're just going to take it away from them. I think you're going to set a lot of hitters and a lot of the league into kind of like a shock almost.
He's in shock right now.
He's in a shock right now.
No question. Did you agree with that whole there are no natural born hitters?
No, I don't agree with that. I think, but he is right with the technology that they exploit every single weakness you have, and it's up to you to constantly make adjustments. Like for as complex as he makes it, you know, his swing is very simple to him. Like everybody has a sort of, you know, for you as a hitter, you'd be like, all right, I got to watch my front foot where I stride, my hands, make sure they go back. And there'll be a lot of complicated things with him. It's so simple, but he has these checkpoints. And if he's unable to kind of look at his checkpoints, he's just out of whack.
Yeah, to me, it sounds like a guy that overanalyzes his golf swing.
Yes.
And the more you get lost in the weeds with your golf swing, you forget to just naturally feel just, I mean, I guess there's a happy medium. I feel like he's the extreme where now they've taken it away and it's who the hell know when it's going to come back. So if they never come back, then what kind of, I mean, and you're telling me you can't adjust? I mean, I just feel like maybe it's a personal problem for him.
I think it's a crutch. I think he is, and he says it, dating back to 2009, so he's been doing this for such a long period of time, he's lost without it. Where other guys, you know, go up there, and, you know, Aaron Judge is one of those guys that apparently studies an awful lot, all right? But apparently he doesn't study at the level that JD does, because you're seeing it already right out of the gate. He's just destroying the ball.
Some of those pitches, like the home runs, they just, it looks like the ball is in slow motion. And that's what it looks like for me. And it's just, it's like he knows exactly
where
it's
going. Sure, you're not watching it when they do it in slow motion.
Last night.
On the replay.
Yeah. No.
The curveball just sitting there. Belt high, inner half.
It does. I don't know. You tell me. It just looks like it's like not a slow motion replay.
Oh, you know,
it's like he's seeing it in slow motion.
Yeah, well, you know it's coming. You know, and it's just, he's going to throw me a curveball. It just sits there. And you wait for the right one, and Barnsley will throw it up there for you. He's got a good curveball, but throws it too much.
Stanton should not be playing baseball.
Stanton's enormous.
He's just psychotically big.
He actually, I think, looks a lot thinner this year, don't you?
They're loaded. They're just, they're so freaking loaded.
That lineup is a killer.
It's ridiculous.
And you're still not getting Sanchez hitting. Wait. They're going to destroy.
But, you know, you're talking about going back to
good
JD.
Pitching. Never
honestly,
mind.
I hope he figures it out, because you keep mentioning that August 31st.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure what's more important, resetting that luxury tax or being able to trade away some pieces and try to build for, you know, the future, whether it be assets to trade or assets to use on the field or whatever it might be. Right, but they got to get to that, because I think a guy like JD getting hot, I mean, somebody would want. There's a lot of guys
for the stretch.
Oh my God, yes. Jackie Bradley Jr., JD Martinez. I mean, Mitch Moreland, everybody but Vasquez, Bogarts, Devers, and Erod.
Yep. Plus, you can deal.
That'd
them
be
to
about
the
it. Everyone else, what do you need?
You could deal them to the National League now too.
Yeah,
because they have a designated hitter over there, so you can deal them where you couldn't do that before.
Yeah.
Oh no. August 31st is everything for this team, and it's both of those things, Lou. I think they need them both to be able to move forward with it. You know, who knows? I heard John Smoltz the other night mention the fact that it's going to take 3 years for this team to rebuild. Well, if they don't have baseball by August 31st, he might be right, but it should be quicker than that, or somewhat quicker than that.
I don't think 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years is a long time.
But I'm just saying, next year could be like an introduction, you know, like maybe you bring a player in, and that's where you could get a guy like Springer if you're under a luxury tax threshold. But next year, okay, we'll see. But, you know, the year after, that's why I say, like, if you acquire assets – to, you know, whether they help in the big leagues or get an arm in double A or acquire enough guys to be able to trade away pieces and go get another starting pitcher. You know, if you have to stay under the luxury tax threshold next year, hey, so be it. Right? JD will be off the books. You know, Jackie will be off the books. So you're sitting there saying, okay, whatever. I mean, you don't have, your payroll can stay right where it is. You acquire another player or two, you can stay where it is. But if you could acquire some assets to possibly trade for that next starting pitcher or develop one, get an A-ball throw who's ready in 2 years, now you are a couple years away. I don't think three. You should be two.
August 31st. It's the date, unless it's August 3rd, because guys are out in the town tonight somewhere, getting away from the hotel. All right, we got an hour to go. How about Devin McCourty? Seems to be pissed off that the National Football League is messing around now on the opt-out date. Why is he so pissed off? Is he thinking about opting out? We'll get to all of that and a lot more coming up in the final hour. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.